Errol Ballantyne, driving you home with the music you love today on Radio Today.
It is now 17 minutes past three. If you've just joined us, a very good afternoon. It's a warm welcome in studio right now to our guest for the next 15 minutes or so. And he is financial planner, and he's an independent registered financial service provider. He runs a company called Balanced Financial Planning. Very good afternoon, Tom Killoran.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the studio. Just looking at financial planning, I mean, it's a quagmire, isn't it? There are so many options, alternatives, so many things people are saying. You get adverts that show you, well, you can earn 7.5% if you put your money locked in there for 2 years, and then that sounds all great. And then somebody says, well, hang on, what about the tax angle? And so, I mean, there are so many different options. Where do you start with somebody?
Well, we normally start with sitting down and discussing what risk people are prepared to take. Because if you don't have the correct risk profile that you're looking at, you're going to do exactly what you said. You're going to get returns, and people are going to tell you can better them. So the thing about it is to be settled on what you want and to sit and wait it out, because it's not a short-term. Investing in anything related to the stock market is not a short-term investment.
Especially when you're seeing turmoil like we've seen in the last year or two.
Yeah. Yes, that is. It's so unpredictable. Mm. You know, one day you can be. I tell clients, don't worry about looking at the returns. That's why I've got grey hair, because I look at them every month. So that's the problem with the stock market.
The thing is, though, when you talk about being in for at least 5 years, you've got to be in for the long haul. If you're looking at returns, say you've got an investment of $100,000 or whatever. And you're looking at the returns and they're showing 1% or minus 1 or minus 2 because things have dipped. The reaction immediately is, I've got to get out of here because I'm not getting the returns. So now you try and second guess it. And I know what you're going to say. That's the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah. The saying that I think works the best, it's time in the market, not trying to time the market.
Oh, that's good. Time in the market, yeah. So the longer you stay there, the more liable you are to score.
To get a return, yes. I got something this morning from Morningstar which shows that if you're going to be in for 1 year in a stock market, you've got an 18% chance of losing your money, which is not very good odds if you consider.
Gee, that's high, hey?
It is, yes. And that's why that same statistic after 3 years is a 2% chance of losing.
Yeah.
And after the fourth year, zero, that's the statistics.
Because it'll iron itself out.
Correct.
So when you start with somebody, you sit down with them and you talk about where they want to be invested. The old high risk, low reward, high risk, high reward thing is true.
Absolutely.
The more money you want to earn, the more risk you've got to take. So your profile, as you describe it, is how much is your client prepared to risk? If you're retiring, then heck, you can't afford to take any risk, can you?
Yes, technically yes, but taking no risk is the greatest risk of all, because if you go for safe investments, you have to outperform inflation, otherwise you're not investing, you're losing.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest. It's easy to talk about it. When it comes to putting your money on the line,
yeah,
it becomes a whole new scenario.
And you hear people talking about their returns, and I got 18% last year. You know, you only got 30, or you only got 3. You're in the wrong market. You must talk to my broker. It's not about the broker, or is it about the broker?
No, it's not, in my opinion. To a limited extent, it is. But, for example, if you take one of the big investment companies, they have, the particular one I'm thinking of now, has 184 analysts who sit down and analyze that. So one broker doesn't have that kind of resource. So it's not about, it's about working with people you know, and you know where they're going to. And you sit down, we sit down a couple of times a year with various fund managers, and you're able to grill them and get out of them where they want to go.
Mm. So if one is kind of starting out now, let's say there's somebody who is 30 and they're getting a good salary and so, and they want to have a solid kind of investment. Is it equities? Is it direct investment in the stock exchange? Is it cash? And a 7.5% return? Or is it all of the above? What about property? Well,
Yeah, you have to. You can't. There's no one size fits all. You've got to have a spread of risk. You know, if you'd have gone into, as people did in 2008, and put all their money into equities and then panicked and pulled it out when it crashes, that is the biggest problem, is to have the patience. So you've got to spread it. You've got to have property, equities, cash, bonds, depending on the length of your investment term, your horizon, whatever that is. Equities play a big part because historically they outperform over the longer period everything else. Property is very good second.
That's interesting. Equities are always top performers over a term.
Yes, over a term. Certainly 2008 to 2009 they were not performers.
No. Okay, that's why you talk about 5 years minimum.
Correct.
So am I right in saying then that if you put 100,000 rand into equities over 5 years as opposed to 100,000 rand into property, you do better out of equities?
Depending on which 5 years, but it's very close, but I would go for equities, yes. But over a five-year period recently, property has led the way, but it's no longer leading the way. So you've got to have a spread, you know.
Again, how do you call it? I mean, you know, people will say to you, property is the way to go, and you've got to buy yourself property shares. How do you know when to get in, when to get out, or is that all up to the broker? Does everybody have to have a broker?
Well, there are definite vehicles where you don't need a broker, and they are more cost-effective. But then, you know, there's a saying that I use a lot with clients. It's easy to make a small fortune on the stock market. Start with a large one, and soon you'll have a small one.
Yes.
Because unless you have that expertise,
yes. Yeah.
And that expertise the fund managers have, not necessarily the brokers know where to go, I think.
But then you have to keep tabs, as you're a broker, you have to keep tabs on your fund managers or the fund managers to see what their performance is and to see what their returns are, because your clients have entrusted their money with you.
Correct.
They're not dealing with some guy in Investec. They're dealing with you. So you're the guy who has to say to them, to the client, this particular portfolio is not doing well. I suggest we switch to something else. Is that how it works?
More or less, yes. I prefer to sit down with the fund manager and get his concept of where he's going. Mm. And if I can buy into that, if he has a track record that I can trust, I will go with him. So I watch fund managers for quite some time before I put money in there. And, of course, you never get it always 100% right. But fortunately, time mitigates risk, and that's our savior to some extent.
Isn't there a fairly large movement amongst fund managers? I mean, you get some good guy who's with company A, and then he builds up this great following, and then he leaves because he gets headhunted and he goes to company B. Now what do you do?
Well, that has happened, and that is why you make sure that there is I don't have an individual fund manager, but a team. You speak to the head fund manager, but all of them, none of them sit down and manage it totally on their own. They have backups, and that is a very continuity is a very important point that you discuss with them.
Yeah.
And
So that if somebody is leaving, there is a succession plan, and as you say, it's a team, it's not just one guy.
It is a team. Some of the initial thinking might come from an individual, the specific direction, but on average, it's a team performance that pulls the whole thing together, and sometimes people do leave. That's how new companies start up, where these guys who are really high flyers take off and start new companies. Mm. And then you have to sit. I personally sit back and watch them for a few years before I would go to them.
See what their performance level is like. You talk about bonds and cash and property. Where do bonds come in? What are bonds? That's government borrowing. Is that correct?
That's a loan that you're giving to. It could be that could be a company, a large institution, government, and those are pretty much a backbone of part of the investing, because they give you a lot more security. So bonds are part of the investment scheme. Depending on where the cycles are, you know, you don't always go into one. I kind of think of it as a motor car engine going up and down. You've got two pistons up, two pistons are down, and you'll find that bonds and cash and property and equities have different cycles. That's why you have to be somewhere in all of them.
Isn't there a relationship between bonds and interest rates as well?
Yes.
If the one goes up, the other one goes down.
Correct. They move down. They move opposite to each other often, yes. So that's why, again, I keep coming back to the fact that you have to spread your risk. You know, the analogy I use is, you know, ask people, I have an illustration of a lift with one cable and it's frayed, and I have a lift with four cables and one's frayed. I say, where would you rather be in going from the 100th floor?
Yeah.
So that's my approach. Yeah. I can't afford to take risks with people's retirement money.
Yeah. Tell us about straight interest. What can you get? You can get 7.5% now?
Yes, fixed. If you're locked in for terms, yes.
Okay. Is that good or bad, or is there no answer to that question? Well, depends on your profile.
Currently, at this point in time, if you're ahead of inflation, you're investing. As I said before, if you're not, you're losing money. So if you are ahead of inflation and that's your risk profile, the problem is this, that on average people retire for 20 to 25 years. And another average is they probably put 15% of the income aside to do that. So there's a disparity between how long you live and what you've put in.
You're not going to generate enough.
And that is the biggest problem. You know, there's if you've got, for example, a 6% inflation, every 12 years, the buying power of your money is going to cut itself in half. Mm. So if you retire at 65, at 72, you should have doubled your capital to keep up your standard of living. And that's very easy to say, but not necessary to do.
Those are scary figures. Yep. You've got to double your capital after the 6 years.
At a 6% inflation rate. There's a very simple formula which I can tell you. It's a rule of 72. Whatever rate of inflation or return you're getting on investment, you divide that into 72. So if you're getting 10%, in 7.2 years, your money will double. Yes. Conversely, it'll cut itself in half if you're looking at inflation. So that gives people, you know, I was recently at a seminar where a geneticist spoke, and he said the first person to live to 150 was already born in the mid-1990s, and it will be a woman. Now, that's an imponderable. How do you cope with living 85 years after you retired, or 80 years? You can't. So that's one of my biggest problems, is getting people to cut down.
As the saying goes, my retirement plan is dependent upon the success of my children.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. we're into the boomerang generation now, which is kids who come home in their 30s and live
and
with
you. And you've got to support them.
Exactly.
We need to close in a few minutes, but I wanted to ask you about where we are now. What advice would you give right now to somebody who is kind of biting their nails about the fact they're not getting returns, equity returns, they're not getting returns on the market, but there's the 7.5% or there's a money market? Would you say it's maybe not advisable to switch into money market because you might miss the boat on the other side?
Well, if you're putting all your eggs in one basket, definitely not. You have to spread it around, and you have to get, if you can, informed decisions, which are not always easy to get. But you have to spread. You have to have a spread of risk. Otherwise, you are going to get into trouble. And off the top of my head, the statistics for cash are not very good.
Even money market, which can earn you, 9% or something. But what about if you spread the risk, put some of the investment to your money market? You're going to nod or you're going to shake your head.
Correct. you put some of your money in there because if you need liquidity, that's the place you would go.
Yes.
And you can't, you know, I've learned a long time ago, you can't foretell what's going to happen by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, if we all had a crystal ball, we'd be mega wealthy.
Absolutely, yes. And I'd be out of business.
Wonderful. All right, so now if people want to get hold of you, Tom, give us a number where they can contact you.
Okay.
I know you advertise with us and you've got a spot running. Might in fact even play today. Yeah, we are going to play today. Right. Give it to us again.
Okay, the phone number is Johannesburg 011 478 1623.
1623. 478-1623. All right, that is Tom Killoran, Balanced Financial Planning. And he says, often investing retirement capital is the biggest investment people will make, and we assist them to make informed decisions to enable them to have peace of mind. Informed decisions, I mean, for me, that is the key. There's a lot of thumb-sucking, I would think, in this industry. A lot of people try to second-guess the market or making decisions based on what somebody says.
Yeah.
But that's not an informed decision.
No, investing is a very emotional thing, and it should not be, because people invest on emotions.
Yeah, they do. Because, you know, seeing you losing money over the last couple of months, and you say, oh, no, what am I going to do now? I've lost all my retirement money. But if you're in there for the long haul and you've been advised by somebody like Tom, then you hopefully you will come out on the right side. Just tell us that 72 number again. I'm fascinated.
Okay, it's called the rule of 72.
Yeah.
And it's very simple. Whatever factor you're using, if you're looking at a return, say, of 12%.
Yes.
Every 6 years, your capital will double.
Yes.
If you're looking, for example, at inflation of 12%, every 6 years, the buying power of your money will cut itself in half. It's just a useful tool.
Interesting.
Depressing, but useful.
Interesting. Great stuff. Thank you, Tom.
Okay,
Thanks for coming in, and thanks for your time. Lots of success. You've been in business for a lot of years. 40 years.
40 years, yes.
You know it all by now, I would think.
I wish.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for your time.
Playing the music you love today. This is Radio Today.